The third theme I want to introduce you to is one I call the elite versus the masses. The elites, of course, the ruling class, or just the chieftains, or the most prominent people, the elites in all of these traditional societies ruled before the imperialists came. None of these societies, traditional societies, were utopian, you know, societies of absolute egalitarianism. There were elites of one kind or another in almost all of them, certainly all the ones we're going to deal with. Now, the imperialists in the 19th and 20th century studied and learned the techniques of the imperialists of ancient times. By that I mean mainly the Romans. The Romans had discovered, uniquely among the imperialists of the ancient world, how to govern a far-flung empire that was made up of many different peoples with many different languages, cultures, and religions, and all of which were hostile to Roman rule. And the way they did that, you can see in the New Testament, for example, in the Bible. If you read the story of Jesus, you read the Gospels in the New Testament, you'll see that the Romans are in the background there. They have the soldiery, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, has the ultimate decision whether someone can be executed lawfully or not. The Roman emperor is ultimately in control through the Roman army and the Roman governor and the Roman administration. But for day-to-day administration, the people who actually control Judea, the area where the Jews lived, a part of the Roman Empire, it was the Jewish upper classes, the people who had been in control of the Jewish people, of all those who spoke the Jewish language, which, by the way, in this era was not Hebrew, but another language called Aramaic, those people who had traditionally controlled the Jewish society still controlled it, still ran it on a day-to-day basis. The upper classes, particularly the priestly class, but also the wealthy. And the wealthy and the priestly class were related to one another, right? The wealthy became the priests and so forth. And the upper level of the priests came from the wealthy or represented them. So on a day-to-day level, the average Jewish peasant, farmer, city dweller at the time of Christ did not come across the Romans. It was only at times of crisis, when there was rebellion or some sort of political disturbance or some sort of other kind of crisis, that the Romans made their military force and their political force felt. Normally, it was the police force of the Jewish upper classes who took care of things, and they, of course, are the ones who, in the gospel account of the life of Jesus, arrest Jesus and put him on trial and condemn him to death, and they have to get it okayed by the Romans, because the Romans, the Roman governor keeps the right of the life and death in his own hands. Other than that, the Jewish upper classes control things. And this, the Romans discovered, was the way to control a far-flung empire made up of many different cultures, languages, religions, people who are very different from them. Not to try to govern them directly, not to try to make Romans out of them or to make second-class Romans out of them, but to use the skills of the their own elites, put those elites to use and make them, as it were, the stooges or the handmaidens, the servants of the Romans. They will govern their own people as they have for thousands of years, perhaps. They know how to do this. They know the language. They know the culture. They're part of that people in some sense. And they can do a better job of it. Also, it preserves appearances. It makes the people of the empire think that not much has changed. Right? They're still being exploited by their own local rulers. And of course, it draws off the anger and hatred, the primary anger and hatred. The tension of the exploited majority goes against those of its of their own people who rule them as they always have. So the Romans rule through these proxies or through these a co-opted local elite. And that's the way, in modern imperialist times, that's the way the imperialists rule. Whether it's the French, the German, the Americans, the Japanese, they all rule that way. They set up local followers. When the imperialists would take over a country, take over a culture, they would fight and, if necessary, kill those of the upper classes who resisted them, and then they would co-opt the rest, and then add to the co-opted upper classes, those of the upper classes who were willing to be co-opted, who saw the handwriting on the wall, who realized that resistance was futile, as they say in Star Trek. They would add to that number others of the local population who had rallied to them, who had rallied to the imperialists early on for one reason or another, people whose whole fortunes were tied up in being people who served the imperialists and who helped to exploit and oppress their own peoples. So that's what they would do. This is the way to do it. That's the technique that the imperialists used. And it proved quite effective. There's an old saying in England that the British controlled India, a land of, at that time, perhaps 400 million people, the time that it was controlled by England up until, say, from 1750 to 1949, that the British controlled India with a staff of civil servants of 20,000 people. How could they control 450 million people with 20,000? Well, because the 450 million were controlled by Indian military, army, soldiers, civil servants, police, and so forth, and the British controlled them. It was primarily the elites who came into contact with the imperialists, therefore. It wasn't primarily the average person. And so the elites were the most immediately affected by the cultural contact with the imperialists. They, therefore, became the most westernized. They were educated. The purpose of education, as we'll see, was to prepare them to be good servants of the imperialists and to alienate them from their own culture. They frequently joined a Western religion, Catholicism or Protestantism, again to alienate them from their own cultures and make them more loyal to the Western culture. And at the same time, as they were becoming closer and closer to the imperialists, they were becoming more and more culturally alienated from the masses. So this creates a tension which still exists, of course, because when the imperialists eventually had to leave in the overt sense, when modern overt imperialism ended, the colonies were freed in the legal sense, it was in most cases to these this co-opted group of local elites who had worked with the imperialists and had even fought against, in all cases, the local anti-colonial forces. It was to them that the imperialists turned over the rule of the former colonies, and that's the technique by which the former colonies remain in a dependent and exploited situation vis-a-vis the old imperialist powers, even in this new era of legal independence, which we call neo-imperialism. So the tension between the elite and the masses is very important. Thank you.